I want to show you one verse from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Jata shraddhastu yah puman na nirvinno nati sakto bhakti yogosya siddhidah. Please read the translation, please.
If by unexpected association with devotees one develops faith in my topics, that person, being neither very disgusted with nor attached to material life, is qualified for bhakti and will achieve perfection.
If somebody is extremely disgusted with material life, they are qualified to go for jnana. Somebody is extremely attached to material life, they are qualified for karma. So bhakta should be where? In between, he says. Now what is that? So you need some material attachment to be a devotee? You may have a question like that. So therefore, in the Bhagavatam, it is explained that just one, it is 7:14:5. You can see that. 7th canto. Oh, sorry. So Narada is giving some very good instructions here. See, a grihastha must associate again and again with saintly persons, and with great respect he must hear the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Lord and his incarnations as activities, and then one should gradually become detached from affection for wife, children, exactly like a man awakening from a dream, he says. And then he says here, further, in the fourth verse, something interesting he will say. Fourth verse. Yeah, please repeat this. Ya vadartam upasino dehe gehe cha panditaha virakto raktavat tatra niloke naratam nyaset.
While working to earn his livelihood as much as necessary to maintain body and soul together, one who is actually learned should live in human society, unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing very much attached.
Virakto raktavat tatra. Raktavat means, rakta means attached. Raktavat means like attached. Although internally he should be virakta, but externally he should look appear attached. For example, when Satyabhama's father Satrajit was killed by Shatadhanva, you know, she preserved the body in with some rasayan and everything, protected the body. She wanted to tell Krishna that this has happened. When she was crying like anything continuously because her father is murdered by Shatadhanva, no? So Krishna already got the news, Satyabhama's father Satrajit is finished, because Krishna knows about Satrajit before. He was a greedy fellow who was holding that Shyamandaka jewel, and actually Krishna wanted to take it away from him so that this kind of danger, mishap, won't happen in future. But then Satrajit was attached to it. When he gave Satyabhama in marriage to Krishna, he gave along with that Shyamandaka jewel also to Krishna. And Krishna looked at his face and understood that he is attached to it. Then Krishna said, okay, I'll accept Satyabhama. You keep the Shyamandaka jewel. He gave it back, and that fellow accepted it back happily. So because he was holding on to it, the very same Shyamandaka jewel became the cause of his death. But now when Krishna heard the news, he was out of station that time from Dwaraka. So he came back. So when he came back, when Satyabhama saw that Krishna is coming, she wanted to cry and get some sympathy, because for her life and soul, sweetheart is Krishna only. So in Dwarkadish, when Krishna came, he cried so loudly, Krishna, he cried like anything. Oh, my father-in-law, how can we live without you? And cried, seeing that even Satyabhama was shocked. He is crying more than me also. My Lord. And she had to pacify him. Although it was her father only. So, because Krishna is showing ideal example of how a grihastha should be. A grihastha man or woman, if he, why I am telling you this now, the morning session which I took about, you know, man, how should you see a woman, or woman, how should you see a man? This type of understanding, when one morning type of understanding you get, then one can become extremely fanatical. You know, therefore one should know, one who is an householder, if he wants to be successful in his household life, even if he is detached inwardly, outwardly he has to follow certain etiquettes within family life. Like for example, when Pandava's five children had, you know, died, no? That time Draupadi was crying, and that time you'll find Krishna, Balaram and all the Pandavas go for performing the last kriya, you know, antim kriyas for the child, for the, all the five children when they would do. When they were doing, that time there were also sages and saints accompanying Krishna also. So Krishna pacifies the bereaved relatives, you will see that. How should we pacify bereaved relatives? So Krishna talks about, you see, Kala is very powerful. You know, at the time when there is expiry date of the child, you know, or anyone in this world, everyone in this world dies. Nobody has survived in this world. Everybody has to die one day. You know, Krishna also pacifies them along with the sages. And why Krishna didn't pacify them alone? He knows that I need help of sages and saints, others like Vedavyasa and others and all, to speak philosophy and pacify the relatives. If one fellow pacifies, one may not be pacified. If multiple people jointly pacify, they get pacified. No? You know, many people tell them. So he had relatives also. I mean, he had sages and saints also. And in this way you will find Krishna also takes part in the worldly activities as if he is one of them. You all know when the Pancha Pandavas were in the Varanavat Lakshagraha and they were thought of to be burned in the fire, you know, because there were, they found that there was one lady and five children dead and roasted completely, you know, in the Varanavat Lakshagraha. So Dhritarashtra was sure that who are they? Kunti and her five sons only. And he was internally very happy. So externally he called for a Shok Sabha, you know. And all Duryodhana and his brothers and everyone are crying. Look, crying. Oh, you know, five brothers, you all have left us. And Dhritarashtra was crying crocodile tears also. And in that Sabha, Krishna Balaram also came and cried. Do you know? You'll read in Mahabharata. Very amazing, no? As if they don't know anything. It's a family etiquette. Everybody comes together. So Krishna also came. As cousins of Pandavas, they said, oh, Pandavas, you have left us. Yes, yeah. And Krishna and Balaram knew everything. What is the what is the matter?
This thing of that duplicitous behavior.
I will tell about that. First I will tell you some examples and then I will explain.
Very difficult to do in our lives.
Therefore it is said. Because Shastras know that it is difficult. Therefore it is said. And it is not exactly duplicitous. Because therefore I showed you the other verse. Actually, a man may be externally very proud that he is very detached. But he himself has some amount of attachment also to the world. He may present himself as very detached to the world. But he may be having still some attachments, isn't it? So, then how does he honestly express his attachments? So, in a family, husband, wife, children, they are staying together. It says that, like child comes to the father, Papa, today is my birthday, I am wearing a new dress. So what should the father do? You know, Shastra say, that 13th chapter 8 to 12, what it says? Putra dara grihadishu. You know what that says? Arakti ranabishvanga putra dara grihadishu. Hey, putra dara grihadishu. I am supposed to be araktir or asaktis. Asaktis. I am supposed to be unattached. You know, don't disturb me. Can you say like that? The child will wonder, what is he talking?
So not only to please.
You have taken a role of a father, for example, and the children are innocent. They are not so advanced in understanding of soul, body, relationship with God and all that. He's a small, tender child. So one should know how to express affection. Even our brahmacharis have to do that when they go for preaching. One boy comes and says, Prabhuji, I have come to two rounds. He says, what would you say? Hari bol, you have to dance. Along with them, you have to dance for them. He will say, Hare kya badi baat hai, hum log swala mala kar rahe hai. Will you say like that? Correct. If you are not excited with them, you are not going to grow them. I get so many males, boys telling about their preaching. So certainly, it's not that we don't feel excitement. We are also happy. And therefore, one requires a sympathetic and compassionate heart towards all living entities in order to be able to, share their happiness and share their enjoyment. Therefore, he says, na nirvinno, na atisakto. Actually, if you are more on the jnani side, you may be such a vairagi that you may not appreciate. Similarly, say you have marriage anniversary, husband and wife. And your wife is asking, what are you going to do for marriage anniversary? You say, I only cry, you know, because I got married to you, I'm suffering like this. Will you say like that? Actually, one is supposed to, okay, go to the temple, let's go together. Let us have some festival. Like in Grihastha Ashrama, there are many ceremonies and there are festivals celebrated. And a Grihastha man who wants to be success in family life, you should know how to participate in them for the pleasure of all the family members. Just look at Kardama Muni. You know, he doesn't want to go in aerial mansion, you know, to go to the pleasure valleys. But his wife faithfully served him in his devotional service. So he made an aerial mansion for her. And he took her all around to different places. After which, she got a powerful realization. She said, I am solidly cheated. She said, you are a spiritual husband, but I took material advantage of you. And this is the beauty of regulated sense gratification. Like he gave her a regulated sense gratification within family life. And the result was, she wanted to renounce it and become a devotee. Correct? No? In fact, sense gratification did not drown her in samsara. Rather, it elevated her out of samsara. So one should know how to show affection in such a way that the affection will produce Krishna consciousness. That is the duty of a grihastha devotee. So showing affection to children, affection to wife, affection to parents, and while living in the world, like Raghunath Das was told by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, manage your business externally, meditate on Krishna internally. But if you meditate on Krishna externally, imagine you go to your shop, you have a big cloth shop, you are supposed to be a merchant, and you sit in your shop and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Raghunath Das is chanting there, and he keeps a clean shaven head like this, he does like this. Who will come to buy from him anything? Correct, no? So he says, externally manage your business like a Pounce and Shillong man. But internally meditate on Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't be a Markata Vairagi, he told them. So don't be like a monkey Vairagi, you perform your duties now, he said. So therefore he says, you should live in the human society unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing to be very much attached. And we can give innumerable examples of Krishna doing this expertly. In Dwaraka, when Krishna was living as a husband of 16,108 wives. In each house, he made every wife feel that you are the most important for me. And they were smiling smiling to their servant maids. Look at my husband, he is so henpecked that he stays only with me in my palace. And all other queens must be envious of me. They were thinking like that. But there is one shloka which says that in Bhagavatam, little did they know, due to Yogamaya potency, little did they know that Krishna was present in all the palaces. Actually, this is one thing that what to speak of husband towards the wife. One Vaishnava towards the other Vaishnavas, one has learned the art of making other people feel special. If you don't make other people feel special for you, important for you, it's not just a drama or something. It's a genuine feeling. One gets actually, like we had gone to one yatra, I think, one time in Kurukshetra, Maharaj was telling, Kurukshetra is the most holy place. Like that he said. Then another name to Rameshwaram. Rameshwaram is the most holy place. Holiest of all holy places. Like that he was telling. Then once Krishnanand Prabhu asked after the lecture to Maharaj, Maharaj, we have gone to a dozen places with you. Wherever we went, you say, this place is the holiest of the holy. Now we are a little confused amongst the holy place, which is the most holy. Yes. Maharaj said, you see, understand, the Lord, wherever He puts His lotus feet, that place is very holy. Although there is a comparison made in a Nectar of Instruction, Vaikuntha, Janito, Vara, Madhupuri, there is a comparison made. Still, when you go to some place, like when you go to Dwaraka, you shouldn't say, we are only in Dwaraka, not in Vrindavan. But what to do, Krishna is Dwaraka this year. But when you go to Vrindavan, there He is, Brajendranandan. If you talk like that, Dwaraka should become upset with you. He will say, you are coming and putting your feet in my land and you are criticizing me. Isn't it? You have to appreciate the Lord. And then you tell Dwarakadisha's pastimes, how he exhibits his opulences You will be shocked if you read the 10th canto. There are verses which are spoken by Dwaraka queens. You will wonder, are they gopis or are they Dwaraka queens? They are experiencing feelings of separation from Lord Dwarkadish, and it's very similar to the gopis of Vrindavan feeling separation. So sometimes we think they are only Dwaraka queens. Some people say, oh, he only went to Vaikuntha. And I say, Vaikuntha is some Dharavi slum or something. Correct? No, Vaikuntha is not easy to attain. So one should not take them cheaply. So Lord is able to give Dwaraka queens the, and also all the residents of Dwaraka, how he deals with them. And you can see how he deals with Vrajavasis also. So in this way, wherever the Lord goes, he makes his devotees feel very special. So in the same manner, the householder also has a duty. See, Prabhupada is quoting the example of Ramananda Raya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One is a sannyasi, one is a grihastha. And then he's saying, see, Prabhupada is saying, when one misses the gift of human life by unnecessarily indulging in animal pleasures of eating, sleeping, mating, drinking, get out of the clutches, all that he says. And then he's saying, and then he's a being completely under the grip of material nature, living entity must evolve again from the lowest species to high and all that. Then he says, a wise man, however, learns from Shastras and Guru that we are living entities, we are eternal, but so Prabhupada is sufficiently giving dose on don't waste the human life and everything he's saying. And then he will, towards the end, he will say, see, Prabhupada has not written anything about this Raktavatatra. Correct, not here? Correct, here? Actually, you may wonder why he hasn't written anything about this. Because in the subsequent purport, some more points are there about this. See, one more I will show you. Nyataiha pitaro putra bratra sukhrudo pare yadu vadanti yadichanti chanamodeta nirmamaha.
An intelligent man in human society should make his own program of activities very simple.
So that means material life should be made very simple, he says. Yeah, yes.
If there are suggestions from his friends, children, parents, brothers, or anyone else, he should externally agree, saying, yes, that is all right. But internally, he should be determined not to create a cumbersome life in which the purpose of life will not be fulfilled.
Yeah. See, here it says friends, children, parents, brothers, and anyone else it is given. You know who it is? Yeah, you don't know. Most important person is left out in the list. Wife. Because, after marriage, naturally, but here he says anyone else, you should externally agree saying, yes, that's all right. You should just nod the head like this. But internally, you should be determined not to create a cumbersome. That means what? Like Kashyapa was asked by Diti, I want a son to kill Indra. He might nod at the head, okay, ho jayega, don't worry. Here is the Pumsavana process, take it and go. You follow this, you will get. But finally, you know what happened. Similarly, sometimes these people, children, parents, brothers, they may not be devotees. They may be non-devotees and they may think that this boy is a fool. Why is he not expanding his material life? One boy was abroad for some years and came to Pune for getting married and married and settling in Pune. His in-laws told him that because you are foreign returned, you cannot have a 2 BHK. You should have row house at least, if not independent bungalow. Correct. He took a big loan to buy a row. In those days, you can imagine row house getting in 1 crore. Now it will be 2-3 crore now. So he took a very big money loan. Then when he came to meet me, he said, Prabhu, I am going back abroad again. I said, why? I have to pay back the loan now. But I have got a house very close to Kunjaberi temple. Only thing is I have to go abroad to again repay it back in the next 6 years. I said, house has come near, when will you come near? So you will see that. Therefore he is saying that in a place called Tanjore in South India, there is one bull. When you play they play mridangam, and then bull will nod the head like this. So, like that bull's nodding has no meaning. But it nods like, any of you have seen that bull? Neither then. So similarly, anybody gives you suggestions, and you will get all relatives to come and give you suggestion. You can go abroad, you can go do this, do that. What you should do? Nod the head like this. Narada Muni says this. I'm not saying it. Yeah, that's all right. But you should be determined not to create a cumbersome life. It's not that you cannot take their advice. You can. But make sure that you don't get entangled in this material world. Like a silkworm gets caught up in the cocoon. Otherwise the purpose of life will not be fulfilled, like that he's saying. Yeah. So one should know that Krishna himself is teaching how should a grihastha be. You can ask, every man gets lot of suggestions from wife, and wife gets lot of suggestions from the husband also, within a family. Similarly, children give lot of suggestions to parents, parents give suggestions to children also. But the leader of the family, husband, his focus should be like true north. True north means what? Like compass. Any direction you change it, and compass will always be facing towards which direction? North. Like that, you should always be in the lotus feet of Guru. You should consult the Guru and check. I am doing this because many are giving me advice. Is it a good idea? So, he should not go headlong in material life and damage his head. Isn't it? So, he has to be very careful. But in order to for him to say no to these people, imagine, for example, his relatives, friends give him suggestion on economic development, make more money. And he tells them, no, I have my Krishna consciousness. I have to chant. I have to hear. I have to read more. I want to go to temple, attend programs. What do you think they will say? They will take his lot of time. Are you samajhta nahi tum? Kitne baar humne bola? Then they will take 5 hours, 6 hours to explain to him what is their plan. Therefore, he should nod the head. Because their plan is a useless plan. Because they will completely plunge him in material life. Because they themselves are in the soup, in a mess. And they will drag him also. Therefore, Narada says like this. These people, they have no idea of what are they talking about. But unfortunately, in the modern times, what happens? If devotee preachers also encourage the material life of the devotees, other devotees, too much, beyond a certain limit, then what will happen? The devotees will become simply like materialistic people. They will say that, sometimes devotees themselves in their preaching, they say that, hey, you have to work hard in material life, you are very young now. I agree that young boys who are getting married should work hard. But what about Krishna conscious working hard also? You should do something for Krishna also. Is it not true? Should you work only hard for filling up your belly and maintaining the family and also, your good reputation and prestige in the outside world? But what about your spiritual life? What are they doing for Krishna consciousness? This should be asked. Actually, I am speaking plainly from Bhagavatam. Morning, I made you read simply purports of Prabhupada. I didn't add or subtract it. If you see Swayambhu Manu, how he spent his life. What was his morning program, evening program you saw. I read out that whole purport. Another purport we read was, how should a woman see man and man see woman? These are all directly purports of Prabhupada. But after reading all these things, then one should also learn, after understanding what level of vairagya is expected, then while living in the world according to Desh Kalapatra, one should know how to bend oneself in such a way that one's spiritual life will go very smoothly. So that husband, wife, children, they all can stay. So Krishna himself teaches as an ideal householder. Prabhupada says he rises early in the morning when the kokorokoko, it makes sound, no? That cock. When the cock makes sound. So Prabhupada says that the Lord, when he gets up in the morning, many people don't want to get up early in the morning, Prabhupada says, but the Lord himself gets up. And then he performs his duty of yajna, dana, tapa, everything he is doing it in the morning, as ideal householder, he says. So that chapter is called Krishna's daily activities. So there Lord does all the activities. So although the Lord himself is very detached from the very world which he himself has created, and he is Atmaram and he is Aptakam. But the way he deals with all the living entities, when he comes also as relationships and everybody, that actually teaches a person how one should not go down in spiritual life, but one should at the same time be able to express affection. Like that he says. So somebody was asking, but if you express affection, then we will not fall down. Therefore, it is said one should not be attached, but one should be affectionate, and one should be detached, but one should not become indifferent. So we need detachment, but that detachment should not lead to indifference. Similarly, one should be affectionate but not become attached. So these two points, Prahlad Maharaj, you will see in that section, we read about it. So here also he says, Na nirvindo nati sakto, so it's explained there. This person is not overly attached to body, house and family. He is also not disgusted with the world, but that is a qualification of jnana. So here he is saying, okay. That's what I told you just now. The qualification for the three processes should be considered. The cause of disgust or detachment from the world is the purification of antakarana caused by nishkama karma. The cause of excessive attachment is beginningless ignorance, he says. The cause of excessive attachment is, it leads to ignorance. And the cause of being devoid of excessive attachment is unexpected association with great devotees. Devoid of excessive attachment means what? One should not be overly attached to the material world, then one will be attracted to saintly people. He says, these causes should be considered. However, there are some special persons who become qualified. Even if a person is involved with some sense enjoyment, by unexpected association with devotees, he becomes qualified. That is our Dhanurdas example. You know, Archintamani, that Billamangal example. They were attached too much, but still they were delivered by some arrangement of the Lord. But in general, a person who is not overly attached, not overly disgusted, such a person can develop So we go back to our So what do you call it? Loka vyavahar, we say, no? So sometimes the knowledge may be misapplied by somebody. Say for example, you go to meet a devotee who is sick and you go and tell him, Prabhuji, anyway, you know, dehi no smita dehi, you know, you are not the body. You are the spirit soul. Your body only is suffering, Prabhu, don't worry. So one cannot be callous, we call it. In English, there is a word called callous, C-A-L-L-O-U-S. Callous means insensitive. One can apply philosophy in an insensitive way and invite trouble to oneself and others. Correct? No? At the same time, one should know that, you know, although you are not the body, you are the spirit soul. Currently you are situated in the body. So the needs of the body have to be like if somebody is sick, somebody needs this, needs that. So therefore, we have to blend the philosophical knowledge with sensitivity. We have to combine the two in order to lead a successful and peaceful life in this world. That we learnt from this section. Okay, where were we? 11th one? This 11th one, you can read the translation. So, I already spoke about it a little bit before. Read the translation of the 15th verse.
If one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum and chief aim of life. If he is a father instructing his sons, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens, he must instruct them as I have advised. Without being angry, he should continue giving instructions even if his disciple, son or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. Ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service by all means. They should always avoid fruitive activity. If one puts into the bondage of karmic activity his disciple, son or citizen, who is bereft of transcendental vision, how will one profit? It is like leading a blind man to a dark well and causing him to fall in.
See, till now, Rishabhadeva was speaking for those who are aspiring for liberation. In this world, there are people, mumukshu, they are aspiring for liberation. But now onwards, he is talking about those who don't want liberation. And they are not aspiring for it. So, for them, what we should do? At least we should tell them to follow some dharma. Correct, no? So, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Na buddhi vedam janayet. Ajnanam karma sanginam, he says. Joshiyat sarvakarmani vidwan yukta samacharan. There's one verse. It says that, you know, if common people, they are not inclined to going back to Godhead and becoming serious in spiritual life, then you have to preach to them in such a way that they will be able to accept some kind of dharma in their life. Say some people are ready to give charity of money. Some people are ready to come once in a year for Janmashtami, and they are ready to come. On the other hand, if you directly tell them Bhagavata Dharma and ask them to, you know, get liberated and go back to Godhead, it's too big for them. They can't even catch what you are saying. You know, because they are so much stupid in this world, absorbed in this world. Therefore, sometimes we tell them some pastimes from Mahabharata, Ramayana, or from Bhagavatam sometimes. Just to, what I also do when I try in my travels and all, sometimes I speak lectures just to inspire them to develop faith that if you follow the Lord, you will be successful. Like for example, Arjuna, you know, Arjuna, how he was protected by Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, isn't it? Because Arjuna chose Krishna on his side, Arjuna was always protected by Krishna. So this many new people who like the theme, how many of you agree, correct? Lord always protects his devotees, correct? How many, many people will like it, correct? It's a very simple theme. Similarly, you know, we can also talk about materialism versus spirituality. Like Prabhupada talks in the Ishopanishad, that verse, one cunning gentleman, Hiranyakashipu, like the Prabhupada says. You know that verse? What is that verse? Where he says how he was. So you tell about Asuri Pravritti versus Daivi Pravritti. Many new people also like it. In one place I was speaking on Asuri Daivi Pravritti, and then I spoke Samudramathan Leela, and they were completely new people. And I, at the end of Samudramathan Leela, I concluded with only one lesson. I told them that Devatas were obedient, they got Amritam. Asuras didn't obey the Lord, they didn't get Amrit. And everybody was very happy. They all said, yes, we have to become obedient to Lord. They understood that. So these kind of the themes new people are able to catch also. Yes, 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 we should obey the Lord. Lord is very wonderful. And also Lord protects his devotees. And we have to present them Krishna consciousness in such a way that they will be able to develop affection for the Lord. Don't tell them dangerous pastime which will bewilder them. If you say that, you know, if you don't surrender to Krishna, Krishna will finish you or something, you know. So, anaham dushita kururana something. So, new people, they are supposed to be they should be taught how to dovetail their talents, skills and everything in Lord's service in a little remote way, may not be very serious way, correct? No? So, but there is another direction I am seeing many people are taking nowadays, which I am very afraid about. What is it? Not speaking any Krishna consciousness, but simply pampering their mind and pampering their, you know, like somebody says, I will tell you something, how you can relieve your stress. There are some techniques. And some people say, you know, I will tell you how to, you know, be positive thinking in your life or something. And then you talk so many things from outside world. Be in the present, don't live in the past, don't live in the future. You know, just be happy. There are many people like that. Many, many things are. Of course, I also have some lectures which I speak on mind and, you know, life and everything. We sometimes use it for one-time program or something. But as we proceed, we have to give them something spiritual. Body, eventually, if you don't give, just like our Art of Concentration, Amal Mahaprabhu's book, he brings everything. Body, you know, grass body, subtle body, soul, everything is there in that. If you don't bring in and tell people, then we will be keeping them in illusion. Correct, no? Therefore, we should know how to, you know, give dharma to people which is digestible for them. You cannot take a pizza and put it in the mouth of a newborn baby, you know. They try to eat it. And baby will be bewildered. What is this? Isn't it? That's what Krishna says. Don't try to, you know. So from this point onwards, he's talking about those who are not aspiring for liberation, how to deal with them. So, the expert teacher should not discourage men who are fond of working and trying to, you know, they are not fond of spiritual realization. But then make them dovetail. Yeah. There is saying. So he is saying that Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur says, the above, okay, now you may have a question. Krishna is saying, Nabuddhi Vedam Janayet. Raitari says, don't disturb the materialistic people engaged in their materialistic professions and activities. Then devotees are going and calling them. Come for the program, they try to connect. So are we not going against Krishna's instruction? We may have a question. So Chakravarti Thakur says, this instruction of Nabuddhi Vedam Janayet Ajnanam Karma Singhinam is not for devotees, he's telling. It's only for jnanis, he says. That means don't pull people to come to jnana path. But in bhakti path, you can do follow up like the way Nityananda Prabhu followed up Jagai Madhai also. Jagai Madhai are climax example. They were not just slightly engaged in material life, they were hardcore materialistic. Nityananda Prabhu, because our master is Lord Shri Gauranitai, they are preaching and following up and inspiring people. So we can also inspire, correct? No? Anybody has doubt about it? It's clear, no? So there's no problem. At the same time, while instructing people, here he says that without being angry, you should continue to giving instruction even if his disciple is sometimes unable to follow his order. See, you catch a new person and you bring, at that time he was not doing anything. Now you bring him, he is chanting some rounds, following some regs. And then if he is not coming to your expectation, you may fire him. And he will say, Prabhuji, I was peaceful in that side. Now you brought me and you are firing me. You understand, no? Therefore, we should have sympathy for the people whom you are preaching. You know? He said, you don't fire the other fellows who never become devotees. You brought me and you made me devotee and you are firing me. Correct, no? So, he says that even if they are unable to fully follow, he says, ignorant people who engage in pious and impious should be engaged in devotional service by all means. And if one puts into bondage of karmic activity his disciple, son or citizen, who is bereft of transcendental vision, how will one profit? It's like leading a blind man into a dark well, causing him to fall in. What is the meaning of this? Earlier he told about karmatmakam, correct, no? Sometimes what happens, if a person is not gradually dovetailed, you ask to dovetail his talents in Krishna's service, if you become angry in preaching to him, he may leave and go back to material life. And he will get bound. That is like pushing a blind man into a well. You understand, no? So therefore, we should not do such a preaching that we, ignorant people, we don't make them more ignorant. Correct, no? At the same time, if one does not tell them the truth, they never take to spiritual life. Correct, no? They preferably very conveniently remain in ignorance always. So therefore, it's like a two-edged sword. Yeah. Read the next translation.
Due to ignorance, the materialistic person does not know anything about his real self-interest, the auspicious path in life. He is simply bound to material enjoyment by lusty desires, and all his plans are made for this purpose. For temporary sense gratification, such a person creates a society of envy, and due to his mentality, he plunges into the ocean of suffering. Such a foolish person does not even know about this.
Yeah. So, a foolish person should be shown sympathy and led to Krishna consciousness rather than kept in ignorance. Correct, no? If we don't show sympathy, then they remain in foolishness. Like that. See, not to bring them to Krishna consciousness and allowing them to be foolish is also wrong. And in the name of leading them to Krishna consciousness, firing them by becoming angry with them and sending them back to foolish life is also wrong. So what is right? That means giving them Krishna consciousness. Just like, you know, you see a small chicken, that yellow color or pink color chicken, you have seen that? It's very, very soft body it has. Tender. It's a very tiny one. So new people are like that only. If you want to give them Krishna consciousness, what you should do, take some grains in the hand and throw it to the chicken sitting in one place. You keep on throwing little, keep on eating. After eating, it look at you and they put little more. So Krishna consciousness has to be given like this to new people. Give little, as much as they can take. But imagine you take a palm full of rice and run behind that chicken. What will the chicken do? It will come running towards you. It will run away from you. Correct? No, it cannot take it. It will fear that this was going to push down the throat something. It doesn't know what it is. So one has to know how to give. And at the same time, one has to give in such a way that it's accepted. If somebody says, like I told you the other day, like, you know, one fellow said, Prabhu, I am doing one program for newcomers. Last 2 years it's going on. About 40 people come regularly, he said. I said, wonderful. How many rounds are they chanting? He's taking Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana, something, he said, regularly. And they're reading the translations, I think. How many rounds are they chanting? He said, Prabhu, I have not yet started introducing chanting. He said, slowly I am planning to introduce, he said. I asked him, when? Next lifetime? I asked him. Huh? You know? So it is not enough to, you know, pamper people and send them back without giving them the real product. Our behavior, nice behavior with people is like package. And Krishna Tattva is product. So if you only give packaging, and poor people will be cheated by you. They open and see there is no Tattva inside. Correct? No? There is no development at all. So therefore, there has to be a balance. Read the next one, 17th one.
If someone is ignorant and addicted to the path of samsara, how can one who is actually learned, merciful and advanced in spiritual knowledge engage him in fruitive activity and thus further entangle him in material existence? If a blind man is walking down the wrong path, how can a gentleman allow him to continue on his way to danger? How can he approve this method? No wise or kind man can allow this.
Imagine a blind man is running towards the ocean. So you catch him and give him a big slap. And you fool, where are you running? And what he will say, now I am going to run more. I am going to go and get drowned. So he doesn't know where is he running towards. Correct, no? So one of the first things you can do is immediately go and give him, catch him by both the hands. Hey, wait a minute. Then he's going to be angry with you. Why are you stopping me? People don't like to be stopped in their direction. And then you have to tell him, what is the danger for him? Explain to him. Give him some prasad and ask him to take a U-turn and run in the opposite direction. Correct, no? So you'll save him. But if you don't know the art of saving him, you will drown him in the water. Like that is telling. Read further.
One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod.
Yeah. I think this is the next one, I think. This is from the purport of 16. 16th purport, if you see, Prabhupada says, in the fourth line, one who is unintelligent, who has no eyes to see the future, simply creates enmity and fights with others for sense gratification. As a result, one suffers in the next life, but due to being like a blind man, continues to act in the same way that he suffers unlimitedly. Actually, those people who have no spiritual understanding, they have to be envious of other living entities in this world. Those who don't know about spiritual life. And because of that envy, that the second verse of first canto, first chapter, it says that 1.1.2. Man and man, family and family, one country and another country, Prabhupada says that animal and animal, they all have fight in this world. So, and that fight, actually, the basis for that fight is sense gratification. So here he says that unintelligent people who are considered to be like blind men in this world, they have no eyes to see the future. So they are stuck in their immediate necessities and immediate wants and immediate desires. So he's saying that they create a fight in this world with one another, maybe a small fight or a big fight or even wars. I heard that in Vietnam War, which was fought between US and Vietnam. So in that war, sometimes even husband and wife both had to go for war. Because wife thought that if husband dies in the battle, I'll be left alone. So they both went. And they were not actually very trained in fighting also. So because of two people's ego, this war was started. And that war led to so many young people drafted into the army and dying. So in this world, unintelligent man not only can fight, but he can create wars also. Such kinds of wars. So I think Guru Nasasyat was is the 18th one, no? The 18th one, very important one, is missing. So here one more thing we have to add to this. So you can tell one example for each of this. A guru who delivered his disciple, like Narada delivered Dhruva, Atu Dhruva came with some material problem, material attachment, isn't it? And then Guru Nasasyat, and he says, and Swajana Nasasyat, who is the relative of somebody who helped somebody to get liberated? Vidura was the relative of Dhritarashtra. Gopinath Acharya, relative of Saravambhata Acharya, very good. And then Pitana Sasyat, which father delivered his son? Rishabhadev himself, you know, he gave teachings to all his sons. And then he says, Janani, which Janani? Suniti, correct. Daivam, which he's saying, yeah, he's saying Lord Shiva, he's saying. In which example is Lord Shiva? Prachitas were delivered by Shiva by giving Rudra Gitam to them, isn't it? And then, Daivam Natachan, Na Patishcha Sasyat. And who is the Pati who delivered? Kardamani, who showed the spiritual world. Correct, no? And now you can tell opposite examples now. Who is the Pati who could not deliver the wife? Because he himself was stuck up. Yajnik Brahmanas, wives. They were devotees, but the husbands were not able to bring them to the path, they themselves had to come. Correct, no? Similarly, we'll go backwards now. Pati is over. Then Daivam, which demigod could not deliver? Indra. Indra. Easy example, Indra. Yeah, correct. But did somebody took shelter of Indra for getting delivered? And then he couldn't deliver them? Like Kubera is giving blessings to our Dhruva that you will attain pure devotion service. Shiva has also given blessing to many on pure devotion service. Maybe Indra can say that. Indra may not be able to. Indra, we have not heard anywhere Indra giving such a blessing to someone. In case any of you heard, you can tell. But did Indra give shelter to someone and he couldn't deliver? To whom he gave? Yes. Oh, that is Takshaka snake. Correct. Indra gave shelter to Takshaka, but then Agni ate the forest, that Kanda person. So, this is actually not about liberation, but about Indra offering shelter to somebody and that person couldn't gain this thing from Indra, like that. Okay, many demigods can only offer material benedictions, generally speaking. And then, Janani Sasyat, which mother could not deliver her child because she herself was into something wrong or which the two children our Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, you know, actually she was not unhappy about our Vishnu killing her two sons because she knew that they will see Vishnu and they'll get liberated. Before getting the child only, she came to know from the husband. You know that? In one verse, husband says that your two sons will be killed by Vishnu, and she is very, very happy because anyone killed by Vishnu will be liberated. So you have to give some other example other than Diti. Oh, Gandhari gave a lot of good advice to Duryodhana as well as Dhritarashtra also. Poor lady, you should not criticize her. But none of these fellows took her advice seriously. He is saying that Gandhari gave protection to all her sons by her chaste glance. So that they will not be destroyed by Pandavas, which any mother will want to do for her children. One thing is, Gandhari was a chaste lady, but she could not give devotional service to Krishna to her children. Who is that? You don't know? Vishrava's wife, I don't know who is that. Keshini? Keshini, is it? Okay. Actually, sometimes the mother may want to give, but the son may not accept also. That kind of case also may be there. Mother may... So whatever it is, but we have to know that any mother... See, even now you may find somebody became a congregation devotee. They could not make their son a devotee, for example. Son became a hardcore materialistic fellow. And the parents are initiated devotees. It can happen. So can you criticize the parents? Because sometimes parents have begotten children before coming to Krishna consciousness. And then after coming to Krishna consciousness, they understood this is the best thing. Now when they tell their children, children don't hear. Now there are children who are born after parents have come to Krishna consciousness and initiated. Child has seen the mother, father with tilak. Still the child doesn't want to become a devotee. So once somebody asked this question to Paramahansa Raghunath Maharaj, he said that any parent who has made an effort to give Krishna consciousness to their dependents, whether it is accepted or not is no question. If they have made an effort to give, they have done their part. Correct, no? So, but here especially the talk is going on about those who are taking a superior position, but they are themselves into sense gratification. And they don't care for their dependents. Either they are neglectful or they are stupid in sense gratification. Correct, no? Such kinds of people. You know, you heard the story. Once our Vallabhacharya was going with his disciples. He saw one snake whose body was being eaten by thousands of germs, isn't it? So his disciples asked, who is this? What is this? They said. So he said he was actually a lobi. What's that? Low tum-tum, he says, no, you know. Talam telam tela, he says, no, you know that? Lobi guru? Huh? What is lobi guru? What chela? Lalchi chela. Lobi guru, lalchi chela? Dono narak me? Telam tela, he said. What is telam tela? I don't know. This form is Navagindra Maharaj said. That he is a lobi guru and lobi disciples. So earlier they were guru disciples. Now they become snake and lot of germs eating the snake. Now the lalchi disciples are eating guru only. Guru's body only they are eating. He said. So the whole idea is what? At least we know one thing. If you accept someone that you will guide them and they are putting faith in you and following you, then some of their good and bad reactions come to you also. Like if they do something very wonderful, you get good name. Correct, no? If they do something bad, you earn a bad name. Correct, no? So, therefore, he says that anyone who is accepting that type of position, therefore it is very dangerous that if you are becoming a counselor and you are not taking counselor meeting regularly, you are not guiding the people who are ignorant. So, and you have to check whether people are in good shape. Even if meetings don't happen, one has to check whether people are... And then we should give them up, what do you call it? In case they are not obeying the superior, then one should not keep the subordinate. One counselor was telling, Prabhuji, main jo bhi bolta hun, sunta nahi, wo kya karo? I said, tyag do usko. If he is not listening to you, then he has to accept somebody else. Correct, no? You are trying to help him, he doesn't want your help. But he want only naam ke vaste counseling, you know. So we cannot accept. Therefore, this verse is a serious one. Very serious one. It is a kind of responsibility verse. It is telling us, if you are acting as a superior, see, the price that they are paying you is they are bowing down to you. The respects they are giving, that's a tax they are giving you. You cannot collect tax like a king and keep it in your pocket. You have to give it back. Like the sun takes the water and then gives it back as rains. Similarly, seniors should accept that whatever respect is given to us, we pass it to our superiors and also we give back Krishna consciousness to them. That's the whole point here. So, read the 19th. Idam shariram mamadur vibhavyam. Satvam hime hridayam yatra dharmaha prishte krito me yada dharma arad ato himam rishabham prahurariyaha.
My transcendental body, Satchidananda Vigraha, looks exactly like a human form, but it is not a material human body. It is inconceivable. I am not forced by nature to accept a particular type of body. I take on a body by my own sweet will. My heart is also spiritual, and I always think of the welfare of my devotees. Therefore, within my heart can be found the process of devotional service, which is meant for the devotees. Far from my heart have I abandoned irreligion and non-devotional activities. They do not appeal to me. Due to all these transcendental qualities, people generally pray to me as Rishabhdeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all living entities.
Yeah. Prabhupada says, Idam Sharira Mamaduru Vibhavyam are very significant. Because Lord is saying, my body is spiritual and it looks like a human form, but it is actually Satchidananda. It's not a material human body. It's inconceivable, he is saying. And that is what Prabhupada... And the Prabhupada is saying, Rishabhdeva's body is completely spiritual. For a materialistic person, it's very difficult to understand. And then Satchidananda Vigraha is saying. And then later on, after the Ravjanati Mahamudra verse, you can read that. Unintelligent people
think that the Supreme Lord accepts a body composed of the material energy. We can easily understand the material body, but we cannot understand the spiritual body. Therefore, Rishabhdev says, Idam Shariram Mama Durvi Bhavyam. In the spiritual world, everyone has a spiritual body. There is no conception of material existence there. In the spiritual world, there is only service and receiving of service. There is only Savior, Seva and Sevaka. The person served, the process of service and the servant. These three items are completely spiritual and therefore the spiritual world is called absolute. There is no tinge of material contamination there. Being completely transcendental to the material conception, Lord Rishabhdeva states that his heart is composed of dharma. Dharma is explained in Bhagavad Gita.
Anantarudharvanparitejaya says, and then although there are servitors, served and service, all are spiritual and variegated, at the present moment, due to our material conception, everything is durvibhavya, inconceivable for us. Like for example, if you see the Lord coming in various incarnations, he behaves like a human being many times. Like here he is becoming a son of Nabi and Meru Devi, correct, no? So many of the impersonalists say, how can, you know, God come into this world like this in a form? That means he must be actually impersonal and he is taking on a form, and then he will give up the impersonal form, and I mean he will give up this personal form and again go back to impersonal. This is a concoction. That's one thing people do. Another thing people do is they say that, you know, his activities appear like yours and mine, like Krishna's human-like activities, and there are also superhuman activities also. When people see the human-like activities like Lord Rama weeping, or Lord Krishna being tied by the ropes by his mother, so most people just take a first look and they think, oh, this cannot be God. How he can be controlled by others? Then they reject the personal form. Or some people say, God is unlimited. How you can limit him to this particular form? You know, a human-like form. If he is here right now with you, how he can control other brahmandas, other universes? Therefore, it says, Goloka Nivasati Akilatma Bhuto. He may, it's not that his personal form limits him. He is there in every atom. He is there in space between the atoms. There is no place where he is not present. In fact, the very meaning of the word purpose is all-pervading super soul, he says. And to be all-pervading, it is not that the super soul has to be impersonal. That is their speculation. Correct, no? So Lord can be all-pervading and yet he can have a beautiful personal form. He is present everywhere. So in this way, people, like I told you, Satyabhama, you know, tells Krishna about Satyajit passing away and is crying. When people hear this, oh, why the Lord is crying? They misunderstand. So, therefore, Prabhupada says his activities are very inconceivable. Actually, with the devotees, he behaves very personally. So, those who hear from Vaishnava gurus and guru parampara, they only can understand properly. Because His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj writes in his book Damodar, I read, there are 18 deficiencies in humans. Like, for example, becoming lusty, greedy, angry, and all these things. There is Kamakrodha Madhulabha Mohamatsarya, like this. And also becoming forgetful, or committing mistake, or cheating. Like that, there are totally 18 are there, 18 bad qualities. Lord Krishna shows all these 18 qualities when he is coming in this world, in his leela, in this world. So people who see these deficiencies Like for example, Krishna tells lies to Mother Yashoda, that I never stole butter, or I never ate sand or something like that. So there Chakravarti Thakur exclaims that, you know, how can the absolute truth speak lie? Unless this is only for the sake of Leela he speaks, correct, no? For increasing the ecstasy of Yashoda he is speaking. Similarly, he is afraid the absolute truth is supposed to create terror even in the heart of fear personified, and he is becoming fearful of Yashoda and trying to run away from Yashoda. But that is also for the sake of Leela only. So what he Maharaj says there is, so these 18 deficiencies when Lord shows, his sweetness increases more. And this is not Dushanam, this is Bhushanam. This becomes an ornament. So like I remember when I was a small kid, you know, my father used to have a kind of stunt with me. So, but then when I would, take my hand and punch him like this, he would run away from me. I would chase after him. So that is Bhushanam for a parent, isn't it? Because parents, what happens to the child when the parents are showing, oh, I am afraid of you, I have to run away from you, and the child runs after them. No, I am going to catch you, I won't leave you. And then finally they get caught also and he gives a punch also. And the parents accept it. So why parents do that? Child? Say fully. Whatever you say fully. For the pleasure of child, they want to give happiness to child. Okay, one thing is pleasure of child. What more happens when they behave like this? Okay. They see the delight of the child, and then they see the child laughing and enjoying. So they want to give pleasure to the child, differently. That's one thing. One more thing I'm looking for. Strong bonding. Correct. The child's attachment to parents will even increase more. When the child sees that, when the child remembers the form of father or mother who appeared to be frightened, sometimes the child will take different teddy bear and different throw on the mother. You say, mother will say, hey, don't throw. And the more the mother is doing like, the child will enjoy more. Correct, no? You've seen that. Or the child may pull the hair of the mother sometimes. So many mothers, fathers, they are not feeling any pain, but they will behave in a way which will increase the child's affection for the parents. Similarly, the Lord also shows fear running away from Yashoda. And Yashoda's affection for Krishna is multiplying million times. So therefore, these 18 apparent deficiencies, actually when you find these deficiencies in humans, you feel pity for them. Whereas when these deficiencies are shown by the Lord, that increases his sweetness. But who can enjoy the sweetness? Tell me. Only devotees. Non-devotees, like look at this fellow, Kalayavana. Not Kalayavana, Jarasandha. When Jarasandha saw that suddenly Krishna Balarama are walking away from the battlefield, he saw that they are running. Krishna Balarama are running. Chelatur Bahu Yojanam. And then he chased behind them in a chariot. And then he was laughing also. Ha 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 ha, look at these fellows. They are kayar, they are cowards running away from me. See, he is a coward because they are running on foot and he is running on chariot. Ideally speaking, you should follow the. If that fellow is a Nirayudha Pani, you should be Nirayudha Pani. If he is going in chariot, you can go in chariot. So this fellow is laughing. He cannot understand why are they going. Because the non-devotee cannot understand these pastimes. They get, it's inconceivable. Lord's behavior. Now there is a much bigger, deeper knowledge Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives if you read his commentary in Kunti Maharani section. Where he says, sometimes devotees think, he says, that Krishna is doing a drama for the sake of his mother Yashoda by rubbing that, Rudantam Muhurnetram Yugbam Rajantam, he says, Karamboja Yugumena. Yugumena means two hands. Yugumena Satanka Netram, you say like that. And then many devotees say, actually Lord is doing a drama to please his mother. Like that some people think. He says it's wrong, he says. Lord is not doing drama. Lord actually takes part in the Leela as if he is a child only. He expresses emotions exactly like a child. Because if he doesn't exhibit emotion like a child, he cannot truly enjoy the pastime. Imagine, for example, Krishna thinks, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now I'll pretend like a child. Then she will get enjoyment, but he will not get. How many of you understand this point? Why she will get? Because his behavior will make her think, she will see him as a child, his tender behavior will attract her, so she will enjoy the full joy of being a mother for the child and, you know, behaving with the child. But Lord, being all cognizant personality, all knowing, you know, I am all knowing, now my mother is coming, now I will behave like a child, you know. These kind of thoughts are going on in Lord's mind. Do you think he can enjoy? Therefore, there is a question asked by Chakravarti Thakur. He is saying, is Lord Vignya or is Lord Mugdha? He is asking. Mugdha means bewildered. Vignya means enlightened. And then he gives the answer, if the Lord is Mugdha, then he will become like a conditioned soul like you and me. Isn't it? Because he is also bewildered. And if he is Vignya, then he is like Supreme Lord. Then he cannot enjoy the pastime. Correct, no? He is fully aware. Because he is only doing a drama. Correct, no? See, therefore I asked you, if a boy in your group is chanting one round, he has come to two rounds. He is coming and telling you, artificially you show a delight. You know, it will not touch him, touch his heart very much. Correct, no? So, if you actually feel delight, Hari Bol, wonderful, you say like that. Then he is touched. Correct, no? So, Lord also, in order to feel satisfaction himself and to give the devotee satisfaction, you know what the Lord does? He accepts the Yogamaya in himself also. Not only puts Yogamaya in devotees, he accepts Yogamaya in himself and he becomes Mugdha. Now somebody may say, alas, if the Lord accepts Yogamaya in himself and becomes Mugdha, then how is he different from a conditioned soul? That's a good question. So Chakravarti Thakur says, a conditioned soul is covered by Mahamaya, which is like a police handcuffing somebody with a chain. Whereas the Lord accepting Yogamaya in himself is like a prince wearing bracelets, necklaces, armlets and all those things. It's like that. So Lord voluntarily accepts this ornament of Yogamaya in himself in order to experience the joy of being the son of Yashoda as well as give her the joy of being the mother. So both are enjoying. And also Leela Shakti knows when should the Lord come out of this Yogamaya. No. Because she is his servant only. As long as he wishes, she will keep him like that. And when Lord wants to behave as a Vignya, she will salute and obey him. So Lord voluntarily accepts this kind of role. So there is a difference between Jiva accepting, Jiva is not accepting in bondage. He is forced with bondage. Whereas Lord voluntarily accepts. So therefore this pastime of Yashoda, Krishna, it is not some kind of adjustment Lord does. See, if you do mental adjustment, you cannot relish fully. If you just do a mental adjustment. You can ask any mother or any father, when they behave with the child, they fully relish it when they fully get into the pastime, get into the activity. Similarly, Lord also gets into the pastime fully. He says, therefore, then he becomes all the more inconceivable for the non-devotees. They just cannot understand. It will be very bewildering to them. Like Lord Rama is crying for Sita. He is not just doing a drama. He actually remembers Sita and he cries. But at the same time, he is in a fully liberated platform. Therefore, he can show darshan of Pattabhishek to Parvati. And also prove to her who he is. Both he can do. He has the ability. He fully gets into the presence. So, Mama Idam, what is that verse? He says, Idam Sharira Mama Durvi Bhavyam. It's very inconceivable, he says. It cannot be Lord's body is inconceivable, his activities are inconceivable. You know, Leela's. Only by, I'll say one verse and then give the interval now. See, na nama rupe guna janma karma bhir nirupita vyeta vatasya sakshinaha mano vacho bhyamanu meya vartmano deva kriyayam pratiyantyatapihi. This is a verse spoken by demigods in the Garbhastuti prayers. They are saying, na nama rupe guna janma karma bhir. My dear Lord, your Nama, your Rupa, your Guna, your Janma, Nirupitavye Tavatasya Sakshinaha. Nobody can do Nirupitavye. Nobody can understand this, he's saying. But if somebody does Devakriyaya means devotional service. By devotional service alone, you are understandable. Why? Because when we do devotional service, your heart softens, you are a Bhakta Vatsala. Then you reveal your pastimes to us. Then we can understand it. Like imagine you are watching a man who is sitting inside a car with a cooling glass on. He can see you. You can't see him. But then he sees you searching for him. Hey, where is he? You are searching and he feels pity for you and he opens the cooling glass. Hey, I'm here. Like that he says. Similarly, you search for the Lord through devotion service, then he will show himself to you. Like that he says. శిల్ప్రభుపాద్కి.